Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is November the 7th, 2015. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for awakening me this morning and being able to use all of my faculties of on my own and just giving me sustenance to be able to, you know, provide for my family. I'm extremely grateful for that because some people didn't wake this morning and they will be placed in their graves. And Allah has been merciful to us to give us another day, another couple hours, another couple of minutes to worship Him and, you know, to repent for our sins and our shortcomings. So, alhamdulillah that we have this chance to, you know, do this. Tonight's topic is going to be the signs of the last days. And, you know, a lot of people talk about this and a lot of people don't dig deep into it and don't take it for what it is. A lot of people think that, you know, oh, I'll be dead before these things happen. But if you pay attention to, you know, what is going on in the world today, you will see that a lot of these signs are taking place or have taken place. And these are definitely things that we should be mindful of. These are also things that we should make ourselves aware of, to pay attention to what they are and, you know, how they go about and where they will be located and what to expect and what to look forward to. Because, you know, we get so caught up in things and we don't pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to us. A lot of times we take these things as just, you know, everyday occurrences. But we know as being strong Muslims and, you know, adhering to the Quran and to Hadith, that these things are things that we can't take lightly. These are things that we should be paying attention to. And, you know, first and foremost, these are things that we should be teaching our children. And the reason why I say teaching our children is because if you are aware of the signs for the end of days, Islam will only be a word. It will not be an act of worship. People will not know what Islam means. The definition of Islam will be wiped from the minds of the people. So this is why it's important that we sit down with our children, explain things that are in the Quran and things that are in the Sunnah, instead of, you know, encouraging them with foolishness, just filth that's on TV, these satanic and homosexual lyrics that these children listen to. You know, these are definitely things that we should be teaching our children to stay away from. You know, these things don't encourage anything that would be beneficial to you for your akhirah. These will not benefit you when you are in the grave. But having a righteous child that can make du'a for you while you're in that grave, that will be beneficial to you. And teaching them what is in the Quran and what is in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be a benefit to you if you teach your children. So these things that are located within those texts are things that we should be focusing on and things that we should be teaching our children. Also, our children's children. Remember, just because when you die, it doesn't mean that everything ceases to exist. That's not the case. So you may have three or four generations of lineage after you. So if you teach your children things, they may not adhere to everything that you teach them, but they may just grasp that one important thing that they teach to the next generation and so forth and so on. So this is why it's important to instill Islam into your children at such a very young age. It's very important for them to grasp what the foundation of Islam is and adhere to the tenets of Islam to the best of your ability. You know, we can only, you know, instruct our children that this is the correct way to go. This is the correct thing to do. Avoid the wrong. Adhere to the correct. So forth and so on. You know, and, you know, when I put a topic out there for, you know, on my Facebook page, like what should be the topic for tonight, I like to refresh myself on things. And I have this book that's called The Final Days, like what's going to incur. And it talks about the grave and when you're in the grave. And it goes all the way up into the day of judgment or the day of Yom Kiyama. And, you know, it states some very frightening things. Now, you know, time is short here. I don't have time to elaborate on a lot of the items, but I have 50 items. You know, a lot of people say it's 10 major signs, but within those 10 major signs, it elaborates on things that have already happened in the past, things that are here in the present time, and things that will occur in the future. These things may happen when we're not here, but they could happen within our children's children's time. So these are, again, this is why I said it's important to instill these learnings and these teachings in your children so that they are aware of them when they see them. You know, like growing up, you know, if your mom taught you or, you know, your grandmom taught you how to cook a certain thing, when you are grown and you're feeding your family, you remember those exact ingredients because you know your grandmother said if you don't put that in there, it's going to mess up the taste, not going to taste right. And, you know, it's not really going to be pleasing to you. So, you know, when you go to cook that the first time, you don't add that ingredient that your grandma told you to put in it, and nobody likes the dish. So you take that knowledge that she gave you and you implement it, and when you cook the next time that specific dish and you add that ingredient, and everybody loves it. So this is why it's important for us to instill Islam early on, even in the womb. Teach your children about Islam. When they're born, recite the Shahada in their ear. Recite the Adhan in their ear. Chew up a piece of date and put it under their tongue. See, a lot of people don't adhere to these sunnahs, but these are sunnahs that are important so that, you know, that child tastes the sweetness of Islam when you place that date underneath their tongue. On the seventh day, you shave their head. You give them a akika instead of a baby shower. These are things that we have to implement. We can't conform to the way of Jahiliyyah. We can't conform to what the non-believers want us to conform to, because this is not what was taught in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to stay steadfast on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We cannot be deterred from that path, because if we do, we get caught up in this nonsense. We get caught up in this world that has no benefit for us. As it says in hadith that we should be in this world as a traveler. We should not be so consumed with this world, because we will depart it. We will definitely depart it. We don't know when we will depart it, but we will depart it. But what have you done? Have you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for your sins? Have you instilled Islam in your family? Have you enjoined the good and forbade the evil? You know, these are things that we should ask ourselves every day. You know, and as I say usually on a call, I always state that, you know, it's important that we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an open heart to forgive us for our sins. Because things that we don't even remember, the angels on our left and right are jotting down in our book. And they are going to come before us on the day of Yom Kiyama. And you're going to be asked about those things, even things that you forgot about, because Allah knows everything, and everything is written down in your book. So be mindful of your actions, and, you know, try to stay away from the haram and do the halal. So some of the things that were talked about as far as things that have happened in the past, and these things that I'm stating may not be in chronological order, but they have occurred already. And I'll go through the first 10. It is the splitting of the moon, the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, major fighting in Medina, the Muslim conquest in Jerusalem, Muslim conquest of Constantinople, a form of death that will kill thousands of Muslims, and that was the plague of Amwas, two large groups of Muslims fighting war, Muslims and reddish people fighting a war, and that was the Mongol of Tartar, the peace agreement between Muslims and non-Muslims, and 30 imposters of the Dajjal will appear to be a prophet of Islam. Now, out of those 10, I want to focus on the imposters, the prophets, the fake false prophets that will appear to us and say that, you know, they are a prophet of Islam. If you are a Muslim, you know that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the last and final prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no prophet to come after him. None. Nobody. Zip, zero, zilch. And that's it. So anybody that starts to think that they could be a prophet and that their way is the only way, if this person is singling out in a cult-like manner, should stay away from that. You should stay away from that. Because if that person is not teaching that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and final messenger, you want to stay away from that person. If that person appears to think that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beneath him, a'udhu billah, is beneath him or not relevant, you should stay away from that person. It is clear that there will be no other prophets after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the seal of the prophet. And this is why he is the seal of the prophets. Allah Azza wa Jal and all his infinite wisdom sent all these other prophets to specific people, to specific groups. And all those people still did what they wanted to do, went back to idol worship, went back to paganism, went back to doing whatever they wanted to do, sometimes not even worshiping the law, you know, and some of these cults and things like that. This is what these people went into. So Allah said, you know, I'm going to send Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the seal. He will be for all mankind forever. Forever. There will be none after him. And when he sent Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught everyone, not just this specific group or that specific group. He went to all of mankind. It states it plainly, all of mankind, not to the Jews, not to Saudi Arabia, not to America, not to Africa. It says all of mankind. So that's a key point right there. It's not all over the place. It's all of mankind. So, you know, when I hear people state that Islam is an Arab religion, no, it ain't. No, it's not. Absolutely not. Because we know, and this is why it's key to study and stay up on knowledge, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his last sermon to the people that no Arab is better than a black and no black is better than an Arab, and that we are equals. We are brothers and sisters in Islam. A lot of people want to confuse culture and impose it into Islam, and it has no place for it. Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, was one of the closest companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was a black. And if anybody knew the story of Bilal, he was very dark-skinned. His master was torturing him because he said, La ilaha illallah. Prophet Muhammad went and bought his freedom so that he could be free and worship Allah as he pleased. So we know right then and there is, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his close companion, like his road dog, his homie, was a black. We know that racism has no part in Islam. It's culture. People want to implement their culture into the religion. So this is why we have to be careful with things like this and understand what the teachings of the prophet was. Understand them clearly. Study on them. Because it's important that we listen and read and not use Google for everything. How many of people have a set of authentic hadith in their home? How many people have a Quran in their home? People be so quick to pull it up on a phone and not take the time to open a book and read it. This is how the scholars learn. This is how the students of knowledge learn. This is how people who are knowledgeable in Islam learn. They didn't go to Sheikh Google for everything. They opened books. They went to the masjid to learn and sit under people who learn, who can trace their teachings back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't take that time no more. It's too much for us. It's too much time. I can Google it. I can, you know, I can go on this search engine and pull it up. I can do this. I can do that. And then people say, oh, well, you know, just give me the dalil on it, and I can go, you know, look it up. I can just plug it into Google or whatever. How do you know that's real? How do you know, how can you really think that that's real? Because, you know, there's a lot of people who are putting a lot of false information out here. And you could go to the wrong website. That's why it's important for us to pick up books. I like the feel of paper in between my fingers when I turn the pages. So I like to read. I like to pick up books. I like to just sit in my masala in my home and just sit back and read a couple of hadiths. You know, I don't need the television. I use the television just for the news, just to see the weather, things like that, but I don't watch much TV. It's very important that we understand these characteristics of what the Dajjal will be. And, you know, I was sitting there and I was talking to my daughter about, you know, the Dajjal. And she was like, you know, I know some things about it, but tell me a little bit more. So I was like, alhamdulillah, she must, you know, hear some more about it. So I was like, I asked her, I said, what will the Dajjal have on his forehead? She said, he'll have kafir on his forehead. I said, alhamdulillah, you remember that when I told you that. She said, yes. I said, but it will be in Arabic. She said, yeah. I said, but do you know what it looks like in Arabic? Can you read the characters in Arabic? So how would you know if it's saying kafir? She's like, well, I wouldn't know because I can't read Arabic. And these are some of the things that we need to strive for as well, is learning the Arabia to be able to read the Quran. Because we can read it in a translated version. We can read it in a translated version. But it is not the complete text. Because we know when you translate things, as I said this before, if you say things in translation, sometimes they mean a whole different thing. Or sometimes you can't translate that word because it has no meaning in the language that you're translating it to. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. In Haitian Creole, gato means cake. In Spanish, gato means cat. And I use that terminology all the time. I said, how would I look going to a Spanish person asking them for some gato, and they would look at me like, oh, my God, she eats cats. So this is why it's important to learn the Arabia, to be able to read and write Arabic, to understand the true meaning that is in the Quran. We can read the transliteration and the translated version, not a problem, but it's important to learn and understand the Arabic. So talking back about the Dajjal, he will have the word kafir written on his forehead. And my daughter, she caught one very quickly about this. She said, Omi, you know, everybody walking around with these face tattoos, how would they be able to even see kafir? I said, Alhamdulillah, you pay attention. Alhamdulillah, you pay attention. These people, and we know in Islam, tattoos are haram. I don't care who you are, how you want to, you know, try to classify it, rectify it, it's haram in Islam. It's haram. Muslims having tattoo parties, doing what y'all want to do. Y'all going to have to answer to a law for that, because the person who's giving it and the person who's receiving it will incur the sin. We have to be mindful of these things. We do not do these things that the people of Jahiliyyah do. We don't do them. We don't do them. And just to mark up your face. You know, I think to these people, okay, you had tattoos before Islam. Okay, I understand that. Cover them up. Why would you want that all exposed? I wouldn't want that exposed. How do you plan on making the Hajj with that? Like, how do you, I mean, do you, you know, I think to myself sometimes, how do these men, when you have to dress a certain way, when you perform Hajj and your whole body and your face is marked up, do you even plan on making Hajj? Because I'm saying, if you're Muslim and you're still getting tattoos and you know it's haram, how are you, I don't get that. And to mark your face up. If anybody have a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. If anybody's streaming live, you can go to the comment section, and if you put in your comment, I'll be able to see it while I'm on the dashboard. You know, those are things that I just don't get, the marking of the face and things like this. And, again, as my daughter stated, she said, Umi, everybody's getting all these face tattoos. Their whole face and everything is being covered in tattoos. So if the Dajjal had kafir written on his forehead, we probably couldn't even see it because he got other tattoos around. I said, Alhamdulillah, you pay attention. Allah forbade tattoos for a reason. There is a clear reason behind it for not getting tattoos. There's a clear reason for that. And if a child can understand that more than an adult, that's a problem. You know, the Dajjal will have other features, and I'll do a whole show on that. He will have one eye. But we know, and I'm assuming that eye is not going to be clearly blind, like when we would think that he's blind, we see that he don't have. No, it's not going to be like that. And I gave an example. A friend of mine, her daughter was born with a condition, and she had to have her eye removed at a very young age. Before she was even 1 year old, she had to have her eye removed. They replaced her eye with a glass eye. Now, me knowing who she is, I know that one of her eyes is not real. But if you look at her, you would never be able to tell that she has an eye, unless she reveals it to you. So these are the things that we have to pay attention to. The Dajjal is not just going to come out and look like clearly as we assume it to be. We have to pay attention to these things. We have to pay attention. So in the present day, I'm going to go through these really quick. Some of the signs of the last days are being naked, destitute, barefoot, and shepherds will compete to build tall buildings. How often do we see this? How often do we see people trying to build a bigger and taller building than the next building that was just built that was real tall. We see that every day. Just look at your skyline in your city. If you live in a major city, you see this all the time. You see more and more buildings being erected high. So that's one of the things we need to pay attention to. The slave woman will give birth to her master or her mistress. So this woman will have a baby, and that baby will then come to control her. Pay attention to these things. Fitna will enter every Arab household. You will not have peace in your home. Wine and intoxicants in large scale will prevail, and ignorance will be widespread. How often do we see people trying to make excuses for intoxicants? And I'm not just going to talk about on the wine and alcohol, because people clearly know that they are intoxicants. But I'm going to tell you what else is intoxicant. Marijuana is an intoxicant because it takes away from your ability for having a clear mind. Popping these prescription pills are intoxicants. Because when you take them, you are not in control. You do not have full capability of your capacities to do things. You don't have a clear mind to make clear judgments when you do these things. So those are all forms of intoxicants. If you have a prescription for certain drugs, and you know if you take one or two more than that, that you will become, you know, more relaxed and so forth, that is a form of intoxicant. We need to be clear on these things and stop making excuses for them. Because the pills are getting out of hand. And people may say that they don't affect them, things and like that. This is what, you know, a certain race or a certain subgroup uses, so forth. It's starting to affect everyone. As young as elementary schools, these kids are going to school high. We got to be careful with these things. We got to be mindful and try to make exceptions to the rule that, you know, it's okay, it's cool to do or whatever. It's not. It's haram. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Illegal sex will be widespread. Well, we already know that goes about. We already know that happens. Next, earthquakes will increase. We see that happening. Probably about 3 years ago, I'm not too far from Philly, but I work in Philadelphia, so I was at work. And my building where it's at, the L and the sub runs right directly underneath my building. So normally throughout the day, you know, you'll feel it shake a little bit because if both trains come at the same time or all three trains, like the north-south, the northbound, southbound, eastbound, westbound, if all four trains are coming here, you'll feel it shake a little bit, even though I was in a high-rise building. But this one day, I'm sitting there, and my monitor's shaking, and I'm like, wait a minute, that don't feel right. And then it just constantly kept shaking, and I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have earthquakes here. And it threw me for a loop, and I was, like, confused. And then, like, I went on, you know, the news station on my computer, and I was like, they just said we had an earthquake. That earthquake was felt from Pennsylvania down to Virginia. And they said that it's a fault line that runs underneath here. Never felt that before. Now, we associate earthquakes with California because they have a lot of fault lines out there, and, you know, that's what happens. But never did we expect it here. Look at the earthquake that happened that caused the tsunami. Look at the earthquake in Haiti. Look at what happened in Japan. Those people still ain't right. Those people still or in a messed up situation. These are things to stay knowledgeable about. weather patterns and things of that nature. You know, we need to worry about those things. Those things are important. Time will pass quickly. I know when I was a kid, summer seemed like it was forever, and now it's just like, you know, I was shopping the other night, and this lady was like, "You're getting ready for Ramadan." I said, "No, we about to be again." You know, we're about to be. Ramadan just passed. The Eid just passed. The two Eids just passed. And it just seems like it was just yesterday. I look up, and I go to work on a Monday, and I look up, and it's already Thursday. Sometimes it feels like when I wake up, I was just doing this. Time will move quickly. And then, you know, as we have daylight savings time here, time is moving faster. It's not slow. Like some people, you'll hear the old people say, there's not enough hours in a day. There's not enough hours in a day to do something. And as a kid, I didn't understand it. But as an adult, I clearly understand it. Because you have more responsibilities, things of that nature. So that's why it seems like you don't have enough time to do what you need to do. Fitna will prevail. Well, we know that. We know that. People worry about everybody else's business but their own. People get so consumed with what other people are doing that they don't even pay attention to what's going on in their own home. Your home is a mess, but you know everything that's going on with somebody else. People need to fear Allah and not mind other people's business. Worry about yourself. That's something very important. Worry about your own business. Bloodshed will increase. And we see this. And it gets so numbing because, you know, people who live in, like, war-torn countries, like over there in Syria, people who are in Palestine and, you know, different countries that always see, like, war, they never have peace. You know, these people become numb to seeing killings. Like, it doesn't even bother them anymore. And we're starting to experience these things here in this country. I've just witnessed within the last week 4 children, all under the age of 18, dead. One 14-year-old girl committed suicide. 2 young men, one 17, the other one 14, died. Just last night, a 9-year-old boy got killed. He was by a hit and run. Bloodshed. How do you hit somebody, know you hit them, and keep on going? People have no regard for human life. None. People will shoot you just because you looked at them wrong, because you said something on a post wrong on Facebook. I'm not worried about what nobody say about me because you're not paying my bills. You're not a law. I don't fear you. So whatever you got in mind, nothing will hit me unless it's decreed for me. And nothing will not hit me because it is decreed for me. That's it. Oh, she said something on Facebook, and now you're going to jail for murder because someone didn't like your stat or someone said something on your stat. And then we got these Muslims killing Muslims. And people have taken, you know, oh, they're not Muslim because they don't believe in this, astaghfirullah. Let's see if that worked with Allah on the day of judgment. You keep believing it. You go right ahead and keep believing that because that person don't worship Allah like you want them to worship, that it's okay to shed their blood. You go right ahead and believe that. Believe that and don't ask for Toba from Allah depending on what the island. See if that weighs all right on your scale on the day of judgment. Go ahead, rock out with that. I want y'all to believe that. We know that there will be 72 sects of Islam. We don't know which one is the correct one, but this is why we have the Sunnah and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran to guide us, to give us the correct information that we should adhere to. But for somebody who has no knowledge whatsoever, just because somebody said something to you, for you to believe that it's okay to shed the blood of another Muslim just because they don't go to a certain masjid, you rock out with that. You go ahead with that. You think it's okay to do that, to take their life, because this person said something to you or did something to you? It is incumbent upon the Muslims that we should seek that person out and find out if you did anything wrong to that person, for that person to even think that they did something wrong to you. You should be seeking that person out to find out if you did anything to them before they did anything to you. Because, see, people don't do things, 9 times out of 10, people don't do things unless you did something to them or gave them a reason to think that. So the sooner way of doing it is going to them and asking them, did I do anything to you for you to be upset with me? But we don't do that. We don't take that initiative to do those things. We just take it upon ourselves to get in our feelings, and that's my favorite new word, get in our feelings about things. Because I feel a way. I feel some certain way. I don't care what they say. I don't care what Quran and Hadith has to say about this. I feel some type of way. So you rock out with it. Like, it's okay for you to do these things on your own free will. Yeah, man has free will to do as he please, but best believe you're going to be held accountable for those things. So it is important that you adhere to what the Hadith and what the Quran states that you should do. You can't just take it upon yourself to do things. We have to learn patience, suffer with things. We have to learn patience. And only as I've gotten older have I learned to have patience with things. Because before, if things didn't go the way Quadira wanted, Quadira would just go off and do whatever. Like, Quadira wanted things done right here, right now, and if you don't do it, I'm going to do it myself and get it done. Now, as I've gotten older, I have learned to appreciate. Sometimes you need to just sit back and watch. Don't say much. Sit back and watch and observe how things play out. Another thing is, a man will pass a grave and wish he was in there. MashaAllah. I don't ask the Lord to send me to the grave no sooner than he has my time decreed for me. And that when he does send me there, that he is pleased with me and my action. I do not want to go in a grave, because I know there are a lot of things that I definitely need to work on within myself before I get there. Trustworthiness will be lost. You can't trust nobody. And, you know, this is what I was saying the other day on the show, as far as, you know, back in the day, you could invite sisters to your home and y'all can have a little gathering and things like that. Now you can't even, you know, bring sisters to your home because they eyeballing your husband. They're trying to find out what you got. They're going back. Like, it's sad. It's sad that, you know, you can't, oh, she got chip paint on her wall. Oh, her couch had a hole in it. She ain't got no cable. Like, a sofa law. Like, I don't get these things. I became Muslim in the early 90s. And the sisterhood was the best I ever seen it in this city ever. We went over everybody's house. You know who they were. If a sister didn't come to class, you went to her home and you made sure she was okay, and you boarded the class. You went to a brother's home. I see you ain't been in class in 2 weeks. What's going on here? You was able to do that. No repercussion. Now you try to go to your sister or brother's house. I mean, as Muslims, we should announce that we're going. We should announce that we're coming. So, you know, you announce that you're coming, that you want to make sure that they are right without somebody talking about your condition where you live at. I don't think that I'm better than the next Muslim because everything that I have, Allah has blessed me with that, and I'm grateful for it because he could take everything from me in the blink of an eye, and I have seen this happen. I have seen people who look down on people when you used to be right next to me, and you get a little something, and you look down on the people that used to have your back, and Allah turns around and shows you how you will be grateful again, how you will need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you feel whole again. I've seen it happen. He will rip everything from you and make you amongst the humble again. Trust me, 100% I have seen it, and some people lose their minds because they can't understand it, because you weren't grateful for what Allah gave you, and you didn't give back what Allah gave you. The more you earn, the more that you have, you are ordered to give more back than what you had when you didn't have it. And people fail to realize that. Ungrateful and forgetting that Allah sees all will be your demise. I'm just saying. Next is, people will gather for prayer but won't find an imam to lead them. Wow. You know, this leads up to where it says that you will hear the word Islam, but you don't know what it means. Understand what it means. You go to a masjid and there's no imam to lead you in prayer. That's deep. Next set of questions, well, next set of signs is men will decrease, women will increase 1 to 50. For every man, there will be 50 women. So all of you who are against polygamy, gotta pray to Allah you ain't here, because with those numbers, yeah, he definitely going to have more than one wife. I ain't make it up. That's what the law said. That's what it said in Hadith. For one man, there's going to be 50 women. So, if y'all against polygyny, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So, you know, that's another sign. The Euphrates River will reveal a treasure of gold. And in reading it, it said that, you know, somebody's going, you know, searching for a lost treasure or whatever, but they come upon all this gold. And it's so much gold that, you know, everybody starts going there to try to reap that that benefit. The Europeans will come to a place called Amag or Wabig. The Muslims conquer Rome. The Magi will appear and be the imam of the Muslims. Isa alayhi salam will descend to Damascus and pray behind the Magi. Now, people ask, you know, if you ever read the story on the end of days, it talks about how the Magi will say to Isa alayhi salam, no, you lead. He's like, nope, that's not my place. You do it. It's a whole story behind it. And, you know, if you have time, inshallah, go ahead and read that story, because it's a very interesting story. Isa alayhi salam will break all the crosses, kill the swine, and destroy false Christianity. Now, you know, that's something that, you know, a lot of other people don't understand. And we believe, you know, in the resurrection of Jesus, Isa, alayhi salam. We believe in that. We believe that Allah ascended him to the heavens without him being harmed on that cross. We know he was never on that cross. We know he was never killed. He will then descend back down to earth, to Damascus, and he will break all the crosses. He will kill all the pigs, because these are the two things that Christians hold on to daily. Y'all love that pork. They love it. They love it. Even in Leviticus, it says, stay away from it. You are not to eat any split hoof animal, and that's a pig, but they eat it and they enjoy it. This is why he's going to destroy the pigs, because y'all were so hard-headed. Y'all just had to keep eating it. And I told y'all it was haram. I told y'all it was haram. And y'all just had to keep eating it. And the cross, they swear by the cross. They swear by it. This is why he's going to break the cross. He's going to destroy false Christianity. People don't understand that there are true Christians that do not associate. The only thing that they don't believe in is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't believe that he's the last prophet. And may Allah guide them, because you have them. They do not observe the Sabbath day, as they say, on Sunday. They don't. They don't celebrate any holidays. They don't wear crosses. They don't eat pork. These women cover. And there are Christians out there. May Allah guide them so that they accept the second part of the Kalima Shahada. I mean, the Dajjal will appear with his tools of deception, and 70,000 Jews will follow him. If anybody knows about the tools of deception and reading on the Dajjal, I urge and I implore all the listeners to go and study this, because this is something deep. When the Dajjal comes, he's going to have people going to be starving. The land is going to be such chaos. He's going to bring peace. He's allegedly going to bring peace, make things seem like everything. He corrects things. And he starts out as like a low man. So let's say like a governor. He starts out as a governor. And he gets a whole bunch of people to follow him. He says he doesn't say he's a prophet at that time, but he's just this good person that everybody wants to follow. But us as Muslims, we see this clearly as somebody who just ain't right. We see this. And plus, we will know the signs of his character and his appearance. It goes into that, you know, as he gets more followers, he increases his arrogance. So yeah, I'm an imam right now. Goes to a student of knowledge, then he goes to the level of a sheikh, then he goes to the level of a mufti, and then he claims prophethood. I'm a prophet now. After he get all these people to follow him, he's a prophet now, and then he claims he is Allah or Udibillah. He claims that he is God. But see, this is how he does it. He does it in increments. And so people who are initially following him, they see the things that he can do. But they don't understand that it is the jinn that is working with him. The shayateen. That's who's working with him, because they know who he is. And one of the mass tricks that he will use is that he will say, follow me, and this is paradise. And all those who follow him will go to the hellfire. And he will say to people who are skeptic of him, go into the hellfire. And if you go into the hellfire because you believe in La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you will be led to the paradise. This is why it's important to study these things. So when you see someone practicing these things, you stay clear of them, or you know what to look for, and you advise others, you warn them, stay away from that. Then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will appear in association with the times of tribulation. There will be like the years of famine, things, this world will be a mess. There will be an emergence of the beast carrying the staff of Moses and the seal of Solomon. Major war between the Muslims by the Madai against the Dajjal. Isa alayhi salam will kill the Antichrist or the Dajjal at the gate of Lud. Great peace and serenity during and after the death of Isa alayhi salam. Wealth will come, that it will be hard to find someone who is poor. Arabia will become a land of rivers and gardens. Society will decay. The buttocks of the women from the Dawes tribe will sway and tawaf around the idol Tulsa. A great fire in Hisja is seen by the inhabitants of Bursa. Armies will sink in the earth in the east, west, and in Arabia, and at Sinian, with thin shins, will destroy, let me see here, will destroy the Kaaba. Let's see. Huge cloud of smoke will appear. The sun will rise from the west and set in the east. Gentle wind will take the souls of the believers. There is no one left saying Allah, or there is no God but Allah. The day of judgment upon the worst of people who have sex in public. And we see that now. We see that now. That's something that we see, you know, now. Things, people committing these types of acts. We see these things now. We see these women enlarging their buttocks to draw attention to the gaze of men. We see this. These are things that we need to pay attention to. Blowing of the trumpet by Angel Israfil, which everyone will faint if Allah wills it. Not everybody will faint. The second blowing, which everyone will be resurrected. Now, these, the next 13 that I'm going to read, these are some of the major ones other than the 50 that I just talked about. People will follow away other than the Sunnah. You see these people doing things that have nothing to do with the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are things we need to pay attention to. When people tell you, don't go to no other masjid, don't go to no other masjid, none. Only buy literature from us. Don't you can't read nothing from nobody unless you bought it in this masjid. Things that you know are not correct, because you may have seen, you're like, wait a minute, that ain't right. But they tell you this is the way that we do it. Find out what that's about. Because nobody, they can't show you in Quran and Hadith where these things are, question it. In Islam, we can question things. This is not Christianity where you don't question it. If somebody tell you something, you just believe what they told you. No, in Islam, you need to show me the dalil. You need to show me in Hadith. You need to show me in Quran where these things are stated at. Or show me where a group of scholars who are the known scholars state that this is an act that we should be doing. If you can't show me that, I ain't believing it. And that's how we all should be as Muslims. Open it up again if anybody has a comment, question, or concern. The number is 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. Next one is women dress like men and women and men dress like women. Well, we see that every day because sometimes, you know, I see these people who you know, are one sex and dress like the other sex, and they look so much like the sex that they're dressing as, you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference, and these are signs of the last days. That you can't even tell the difference anymore that this was a man and now he's a woman, or a woman and this is a man. Homosexuality and lesbianism will be widespread. Well, we see that today. We see that today. I mean, you know, and this is something that I stated on a couple of calls ago. Just because something in a country where you may reside is halal now, or what they consider halal, and Islam states that it's haram, it's still haram. And something that's haram, you can't make it halal. And something that's halal, you can't make it haram in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. You can't do it. So just because this country allows homosexuality for them to get married and things like that, it is still a sofa law. It is still a sin in Islam. So you can't agree with it. And you have to be mindful if you do start agreeing with these things. They are haram, and they remain haram. You can't agree with these things. This is not what Islam teaches. It's haram and it stays haram. If it's halal, it stays halal. And we shouldn't deviate from these things. And we shouldn't let nobody convince it's wrong that we think this way. It's not wrong that we think this way because it says it in the Quran and Hadith. If Quran and Hadith justify the halal, then it's halal. And no matter what nobody says, you can't make it haram. And that's how we should stand on those things. Children born out of marriage, fornication and adultery become commonplace. Universal consumption of alcohol, like, you know, people just drink it like they drink a water. You know, in the 90s and, you know, in the early 2000s, we see an emergence of these stop-and-goes that they put on every corner in urban communities. But if you go outside the urban communities, you dare not see a Chinese store. You dare not see a bodega. You dare not see these stop-and-goes where they sell all kinds of paraphernalia for you to use illicit drugs. You don't see it in those communities. So we should start fighting for our own communities and forbid these things because these places bring nothing but harm to our health and to our spirit, to our well-being. These stores have no benefit for us. They have no benefit for us. They're not serving you salad. Bodegas are not serving you salad. They're serving you stuff that's going to clog up your arteries. These people don't care about your health. They sell, you know, Lucy cigarettes. They sell them to teenagers. They don't care about that. They don't care just as long as you spend your money there. These are things that we should be mindful of and take, you know, take time to understand what are these things really benefiting us. We should have a market in every community, in every urban community, within a 10-block radius, selling fresh fruits and vegetables, selling halal meat. People want to complain that halal meat is so expensive. That's because you don't buy it. Supply and demand. Learn about that. Supply and demand. If you go to an area that has, if anybody been to Dearborn, Michigan, y'all know that's like one of the towns in the United States that has the largest population of Muslims outside of Philadelphia. But their community, halal meat store, all this and that, and it's not expensive. Why? Because the people are constantly buying, so the supply and demand is there. You know, we got a couple of out stores here, but nobody wants to spend the money there. And it's high because nobody is buying it, and they're losing money when people don't buy it. So, you know, y'all can keep on buying that hitting the hit meat. And, you know, with all these antibiotics that they pump and these stuff that they feed them, they feed these chickens pork, ground up pork, whatever, the pig didn't die, they ground it up and put it in the feed. These animals are being tortured because halal is a behead. Not only means how the animal was slaughtered, we have to understand it. It also means on how the animal was raised. These are things we need to be mindful of. Religious knowledge will disappear. Time moves more swiftly. Random killings. Nothing would remain of Islam except the name. Reba will become prevalent. The slave woman gives birth to her master or mistress in the last hour. I hope that I was able to provide some educational knowledge on this situation. You know, these are things that we have to adhere to. These are things that are important, and we must learn them because it can go so far left real quick. It can go left so quick. And, you know, these things that I mentioned, a lot of these things are happening in today's time. You know, with the prevalence of, you know, cameras on your phone, people videotape these things. People having sex in the street. You know, people just high on drugs, things like this. And, yes, it's more prevalent because we have these cameras now, we have the internet. But these things were usually ashamed. People were ashamed of them to do these things. But now they're not. Now they're not. They know that they'll get a like. So they do these things for a like. we have to be mindful of, you know, using social network for a benefit and also, you know, not getting caught up in all the stigma and stuff that goes on Facebook and things like that. A lot of things, a lot of people say I start trouble. No, I don't start trouble. I like to make people think. And it makes people think, and it makes people go back to Quran and Hadith to see what I state. And you'll find it. May Allah forgive me if I misstate anything. But that's not my intention to mislead anybody. This is to educate you and to make you aware of things that are going on and to become more observant of your surroundings and the things that your kids are doing. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of things, I'll be the first to admit it. I'm like, I had no clue about this stuff. I don't even know what it is or why it's being done, but it's being done. You know, a lot of us parents, we got teenagers and things like that, but we need to educate ourselves in young people's terminology, because a lot of things we may not even know that they're saying and doing and things like that. And, you know, again, may Allah keep us all steadfast on the Siddurat al-Mustaqim, that, you know, we don't waver, we don't go astray, that we don't incur, you know, no hardships, that we remain Muslim, you know, because you see so many people apostate, you know, and that just hurts me when I see somebody apostate. You're like, why? Why? And, you know, it's just by the cutter of a law, it's by the cutter of a law, but, you know, we have to be mindful of how we treat people. We have to be mindful that we don't encourage them to apostate. And what I mean by that, and I said this on my call Thursday, is we don't say to a new shahada certain things because their imam is not where it needs to be. And when we encourage things like, because you don't wear this or you don't go here, I can't associate with you. But this is a new shahada. They don't know about this stuff yet. You got to be mindful of these things. You know, did somebody take the time with you? Remember where you came from. And always try to implement the good and forbid the evil. So, you know, on that note, I'm going to, you know, sign off for tonight. I appreciate everybody, you know, joining the call. I appreciate my listeners. I appreciate, you know, everything that I have. I'm grateful to Allah for everything that I have, the good and the bad. Alhamdulillah, I don't question anything. Whatever comes my way is a trial or, you know, tribulation from Allah, I accept it, and may I ease through it. May I breathe through it. May I, you know, float through it. May I get an A on it. Inshallah. If anybody wants to, you know, contact me, if you have a comment, question, or concern, you got a topic for a show, you got an event going on in your neighborhood or whatever, feel free to contact me. You know, I'll put you on the air. I'm on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to reach me via phone, you can call me at 610-836-2120. You can reach me via email at qamrma@gmail.com. You can reach me on any social network. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Pass, Google Talk. So if you want to reach me then with any, you know, information that you want to share with me, I'll be happy to review that and inshallah I'll get you on the show. Again, I thank everybody for joining tonight. Tonight's topic was Signs of the Last Days. Thank you for joining this evening. I appreciate it. Everybody enjoy the rest of their night. Assalamu alaikum and have a good evening.